Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Each Sunday I offer that prayer before I preach. May we be faithful to the written word and be led to the living word. This prayer speaks directly to one of the great Ignatian spiritual traditions called gospel contemplation. For those of you who have not had the opportunity to experience this kind of prayer, gospel contemplation invites you to read a story such as the one we have before us this morning and to imagine yourself in that scene. So in hearing about this woman who had a spirit that crippled her for 18 years coming into a place of worship where there is a great rabbi teaching, other people listening to the teaching, the leaders of the synagogue responding to this healing miracle on that day. Gospel contemplation asks you, who are you in this story? I'll let you mull over that as I elucidate this a little bit more, but I hope when you go home this afternoon and have a little bit more time, or this evening, tomorrow morning, while drinking a cup of coffee, I hope that you'll spend time with this gospel lesson and really let your imagination engage the scene, asking, who am I in this story? There are so many different ways that we can enter into this particular scene. The most obvious is to imagine ourselves as the woman who has been crippled with the spirit for 18 years. At our service on the sandbar yesterday, I asked the people who were gathered there, what are the things that cripple you, that make you feel burdened and weighed down? For some of the people there, physical ailments. There are actually crippling ailments that many people live with that perhaps don't actually bend over their body, but distort how they feel moment by moment in any given day. For others, it may be a psychological condition. Grief can be crippling and leave us feeling bent and heavy and worn down. Depression or other mental illnesses that I know many of you and myself and our family members struggle with can leave us feeling crippled. Fear about what will happen in the future and worry for our loved ones, especially if they are facing financial or health issues of any kind. Fear and worry can leave us crippled. Sometimes they are sort of more daily things that can be overwhelming. One of the rising seventh graders who was in the congregation yesterday was very honest in saying all of the math homework that she has due before the beginning of school leaves her feeling burdened and heavy. So it might be the amount of work that needs to be done in your garden because it's been so dry and so hard to be outside. The things that cripple us can range in a variety of different ways. But I suspect that all of you, if not immediately this morning, sometime in the past week, have felt heavily weighted down by something, by a spirit that cripples you. So perhaps when you imagine this scene, you are the woman who comes to the synagogue, who likely has been coming to the synagogue. Jesus knew her immediately. So we can presume that she regularly was coming into the house of God to pray. Perhaps that is you. Or perhaps you see yourself as Jesus. The thing I love about gospel contemplation is you're invited to see yourself in any role in the narrative. Perhaps you are in a time in your life where you feel strong and stable and abundantly blessed, and allowing that healing power to flow through you Yesterday at May Grant's funeral, we all were remarking on the constant flow of love from this tiny little woman. Whether in a kind word that she exchanged with people at church on Sunday, the numerous cards that she sent to many of us at various times, the meals that she prepared, the book groups that she participated in, May allowed the healing love of God to flow through her and to bless everyone who came into contact with her. So perhaps you are in that phase in your life and you feel strong and you give thanks every day that God is using you as an agent of healing grace and love in this world. When I first contemplated with this passage, I actually found myself as one of the bystanders, a little suspicious of what was going on, wondering, feeling a little bit anxious about this upstart rabbi who was breaking the synagogue's laws and healing on the Sabbath and wondering what was going to happen. Did I want to get sucked into that? So you might find yourself standing back from the scene and just watching it, observing. Or perhaps you find yourself in a time in your life that you're really frustrated that people don't do what they're supposed to do. That there are certain social norms and conventions, there are certain rules and laws that we are supposed to live by, and that when people like Jesus come and disrupt our order, it is really irritating. So perhaps you find yourself as the Pharisee who criticizes Jesus and is ultimately shamed by him. It's interesting that shame is lifted up as a good thing in this gospel lesson. Wherever you end up finding yourself in this passage is exactly where you are meant to be with it today. The goal is not to force yourself to be the woman who needs healing, or to be Jesus, or to be anybody except for exactly who you are. Because this gospel lesson gives us very clear instructions. It's rare that we get very clear instructions about what we're supposed to do when we find ourselves as one of these people. The woman who was crippled by a spirit for 18 years came to the community faithfully, like you all. She would come into this place, she would come to this altar, she would come with joy to meet her Lord, receiving the nourishment of the communion, receiving the nourishment of the community. Even in her crippled state, she stayed in community. So if you're identifying with that woman, there's one invitation to you. Second, when Jesus saw her, which is a miracle in and of itself, because most people, when they see somebody in pain, want to run in the other direction because it's too hard to hold that amount of pain. But when Jesus saw her, she came toward him. She didn't duck out the back door. She didn't hide and pretend that he wasn't talking to her. She allowed herself to be seen even in that state where she was vulnerable and crippled. So she came to community. She allowed herself to be seen. And when God worked through Jesus to touch her and to straighten her, she accepted the healing. How many of us at various times in our lives have begun to taste a little bit of the peace of God in some circumstance that is crippling us, but it's too frightening to allow ourselves to be healed and to move forward? Our old habits, our old ways of being and thinking are so comfortable that we resist the healing. So if you are the woman in need of healing, thank you for coming to community. Thank you for allowing us to see whatever it is in your lives that needs to be healed. And may you accept the healing gift of God. If you see yourself as Jesus, we also have some really clear guidelines. Continue to notice the people around you who are suffering. Our Amazing Grace Camp begins today, offering a summer camp experience for children whose parents are incarcerated or were incarcerated. These children lead chaotic and difficult lives, to say the least. And so many of you have borne the healing touch and grace of God into their lives. You saw their suffering and you responded. Many of you serve on our pastoral care team and you respond very directly to the needs of people who are in need of healing in this community. Or you volunteered with Food for Kids to offer food for hungry children. If you are in a place of strength in your life, Jesus shows you exactly what to do. See the people who are suffering. Move towards them and be willing to touch them, whatever that looks like. That's all you have to do, and God will do the rest. You don't have to get all twisted up wondering what does it mean to be a healing agent of God. Notice, go toward them, and touch them. That's it. And if you find yourself as a bystander or as somebody who is a bit shamed in your reaction to this whole scene, simply ask God what that means for you at this point in your life. Why, Lord? Why am I not able to see myself as engaging in this healing miracle? What am I to learn in this phase of watching in my life? Or why, Lord, why am I judging the healing that I'm seeing before me? What am I to learn about different responses? Simply ask and trust that the Lord will provide. This is one of the most exceptional healing miracles because it is available to all of us. And I invite you, as you contemplate with this story this week, to be open to whatever it is that God is pouring into you. Whether you need to be healed, whether you are empowered to be a healer, the hands and heart and feet of Christ in this world, or whether you are waiting to learn. What is God calling you to do? Whatever it is, may God bless you abundantly through this story this week. Amen.
Amen. Amen.